a little bit less relevant to halacha lemaisa. A lot of it has to do with will it be this halacha or be a different halacha. It won't affect so much the practicality. So I think what we'll try to do is just familiarize ourselves with some of the major issues in Kotzer, be aware of some of the fundamental lumdisha questions and some of the practical issues. And also there is at least one other major Shabbos general topic that comes up in the context of Kotzer, and since we have to figure out how much time we'll be able to make for general topics, we'll try to at least introduce it in this context, since it's actually very relevant to the definition of Kotzer. But in any event, I don't know if we've done it so much this year, but one of the introductory questions I like to ask about the malachas is to just to try to translate the malachas into English. If you try to translate any malacha in English, you find that already you kind of have to take a stance, and usually what's the machlokas rishonim as to what the malacha is about. And Kotzer is certainly true that that's the case. If you try to define what exactly Kotzer is, and we'll talk in a little bit more detail about some of the debates surrounding that, so you find that there is a range of opinions, whether it means to disconnect something from its source of life, or something that is connected to the ground, to make that separate from the ground. These are all possibilities, as we'll discuss, but we also have to keep in mind that in the context of Shabbos, so a definition of, of a malacha has to be a positive definition. So we'll have to figure out how those definitions are going to work when it comes to any of those possibilities. So let's take a look at the Gemara first. Maybe we'll take a look at that. It's a brief Gemara on Daf and Gimel Mibayz. We'll look at that. I want to talk about a Tosfos here, which is very important to Shabbos issues in general. And then we'll get into some of the details. I also want to mention that today's Shir is dedicated Ilu Nishmas Shendel Gittel Bas Harav Eliezer Chaim. So to begin with, look in the Gemara and Daf and Gimel Mibayz. So the Gemara begins V'Hakotzer. This is towards the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Tana HaKotzer, HaBotzer, VaHagoder, VaHamesik, VaHaOre, Kulan Malacha Achas. So all of those words, that's all one malacha. What do all those words mean? They all mean basically the same thing. They all basically mean that you are, let's say, harvesting something. But they're different types of foods, different types of growths. So therefore, the Gemara has different terminology for them, but they all basically seem to be essentially the same idea. So it's a question how to categorize them, as you find the God Gemaras like this. The Rambam understands that these are all levels, basically. And the other Rishonim see a little bit differently. The Baal Amor and the Urayim understand that only Kotzer is an Av, the others are Toldos. The Meiri understands that an Av is only when you're dealing with Zeruim. If you're dealing with trees, that's a Tolda. So again, there are some nuances in how we understand this, but this all basically seems to be the components of Kotzer. Now what's particularly relevant, and here's the Shas topic that is very, or the Shabbos general topic is very important to know about. So there is a Tosfos here that's actually on the Gemara a little bit earlier, but it's very relevant to defining Kotzer, and it impacts a lot of areas of Hilchos Shabbos, so maybe we'll take a look at it now. In the context of Zareya, two malachas ago, so towards the top of the page, the Gemara has a line where it says, Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim chayiv shtayim, achas mishum Kotzer v'achas mishum noter. That when talking about Zareya, the Gemara says that if you prune a tree, if you cut branches off a tree, so then that is also an act of Zareya, because it enhances the ability of the tree to grow better. But if you're interested in the wood, let's say you figure, okay, I can take this wood and use it for something, so then it also is an act of Kotzer. Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim. So why does it have to be that if that's considered to be an act of Kotzer, cutting branches off a tree, so why do we have this condition of tzarech le'etzim? Why shouldn't we just say that cutting branches off a tree is a double chiyuv, is a chiyuv right away of Zoreya and of Kotzer. Now, parenthetically, the whole question of the double chiyuv is itself interesting. Last week we were talking about Choresh, and the week before that we were talking about Zoreya. So the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan had raised the question, which we alluded to, about if you're going to be weeding the ground or if you're going to be watering the ground. So is that a tolda of Zoreya or of Choresh? It implies that it's one or the other. So why is it that there we seem to have the understanding that it can only be one malacha, while here the Gemara is stating very clearly an act could theoretically be two malachas. There's nothing stopping us from saying it could be two malachas. So there are a couple of different approaches in the Rishonim and in the Achronim to answer the difference between that and this. That one difference is that in that case, you're doing one action that has one effect. You're improving the ground. The question is that categorized under Choresh or is it categorized under Zoreya? Here, you're doing one action that has two different effects. It makes the plants grow better, makes the tree grow better, and it gives you wood for your usage. So once you have two different effects, maybe that's two malachas, but we wouldn't call one action that has one effect two malachas. That's one possible distinction. Another possible distinction, which may or may not work here, you have to figure out whether you're talking about avos or toldos in this case, because in the case of the Gemara in Moed Katan, they are talking about toldos. So some assume that a tolda will only be a tolda of one malacha, while an av will be as many malachas as it fits. Because when it comes to an av is naturally there, so if it happens to match a few malachas, it'll be all those malachas. But when it comes to a tolda, we basically have a tradition from Chazal, even though we assume that a tolda has the status of a din daraisa, but we need Chazal to explain to us what the toldos are. And the assumption might be that Chazal categorized certain actions as being into an av in order to group it with a malacha, and there's no need to group it with two different avos. If it's attached to one already, that's enough. So maybe when it comes to a tolda, it's only going to be a tolda of one, even if an av theoretically could be more than one. So in any event, this Gemara is clear that you can have two different malachas happening with one action, and especially here because, again, it has two different effects. So the question is, why do we have this condition of tzarech le'etzim? So what you might say is that this involves the issue of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, again, a major Shabbos issue, that even if cutting the branches off a tree is considered to be a Malacha of Kotzer, maybe if you're doing it for a different purpose, so then it's a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and maybe you should be putter for that reason. So if your only interest is to help the tree grow, so then maybe as far as Kotzer is concerned, it's a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and you would be pater, and the only reason you would be chayiv is if you actually needed the branches, because otherwise it would be malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. So if that's the case, so then it would be subject to a machlokas in the Gemara, because malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, we probably assume lahalacha that a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is pater, but it's a machlokas in the Gemara. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is chayiv. And the Rambam actually passes like that too, that a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is chayiv. But most Rishonim, probably the Shulchan Aruch, seem to pass in that a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is pater. So if this is an example of a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, cutting off branches when you don't want to use that, so then it should be subject to that machlokas. If you hold malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is chayiv, you'll be chayiv anyway. And if you hold that you're pater, so then you will be pater in this case. And that's the way some Rishonim, such as the Piskei Rid, understood this issue, that statement is only, according to the majority view, that malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is pater. That we're following so far is a little complicated. Should I restate that? I mean, we're kind of bringing in a major Shas Machlokas kind of through the back door. So if that needs any more explanation, please let me know. But in any event, so it seems like it's totally in that Machlokas. However, Tosfos here says something very significant. And Tosfos says that it's not tali on this machlokas. So if you see Tosfos with Sarach La'etzim, Tosfos says, Nira da filu Reb Yehuda, de machayev malachash and yitzricha legufa, bo'inen Sarach La'etzim. That even according to the view of Reb Yehuda and the Rambam, that you are chayev from malachash and yitzricha legufa, they also agree with this statement in the Gemara. They also agree that in this case, you're only going to be chayev if you need the wood. Why? That you would not call it kotzer except in such a case. It only becomes kotzer because you want the wood. Comparable to what we find in the Mishnah, that tearing something or erasing something only becomes a malacha when it's in the context of a positive action, such as for the purposes of sewing it up or the purposes of writing on it. So basically, without getting into that whole Gemara that he quotes later, but Tosfos says a couple things here. Tosfos basically says that there are certain malachos that only become defined as the malacha because they're connected to a certain purpose. So this is one example, that it would only be kotzer in this case if you were interested in the wood. And if you weren't, it's not even a malacha shenetzricha legufa. It's not the malacha at all. And then he goes on to say, you find that in a few other places, such as disha. So for example, this is very relevant for practical issues. God willing, we'll see when we get to that malacha. It's very relevant, for example, for nursing mothers and for a number of other cases, that it could be that disha, which involves extracting something from something else, is only called disha if you need the substance that you are extracting. And if you don't, that's not a malacha shein shirich legufa, that's not even the malacha. The malacha is defined by that. So it's a fascinating topic in general. If we had an hour just to talk about this Tosfos, we could talk about many different applications that you find in the poskin of where there might be examples of a malacha that's defined by having that purpose. So apparently that standard is even more than a malacha shenitzrich legufa. The assumption is that even the machmirim on this point, the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rambam, would agree that that's the case. There's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin that talks about the related issues in the Marasha and Daf Chavav that comments over there that maybe this is specifically a Shabbos thing. That because of Malachas Machshavas, so really harvesting wood would not be called kotzer. It's only called kotzer on Shabbos because since you want it in this case, so your machshava makes it into a type of fruit, basically. It makes it into a pri. But if it was not for Shabbos, so for example, in the area of Shvius, where we also have a prohibition of kotzer, so we wouldn't say such a thing. So this marsha is debated whether or not this is true. Basically, it's a couple of different ways of looking at what Tosfos is getting at here. Is Tosfos saying that your machshava makes it into a pri, and therefore it's significant? Or is he saying that it's only considered to be a malacha if you, of zareya, of sorry, kotzer, if you want the item? But if you don't want the item, then it's not kotzer. So that's a little bit of a shaila of what exactly is going on here. But again, this has implications both for the malacha of kotzer and for many different areas of Shabbos. So it's also relevant that there are some Rishonim and some Poskim who understood this to be relevant not only to this case of Zomer V'Tzarech La'etzim, but to the whole Malacha of Kotzer. That maybe Kotzer in general is also defined by wanting the item, and even if something is objectively a fruit, so then it's still going to be only a malach of kotzer if you're interested in what you're taking. If you're just knocking it off the tree for whatever reason, it's for sure going to be a drabanan, but maybe that's not going to be the malach of kotzer. So there is a trend, for example, the Shita Laharan says that pretty clearly, and some of the later poskim adopted this view as well, that you only have the malach of kotzer when it is tsarech ledavar haniktsar, when you have an interest in the item that you are plucking off, then it's the malach of kotzer. And that's extra chiddush on top of this line. So this one brief passage, which is really from the Gemara earlier than our Kotzer Gemara, the Gemara in the context of Zoraya, this one brief passage of Zomer Vatzarech La'itzim has implications in all kinds of different directions. So it depends on how you read it, has implications for Malacha Shemitzvich L'Gufa in general, for defining multiple actions as multiple Malachas, for defining the Malacha of Kotzer, there's really a whole lot to read into that one line of the Gemara, and it's a major issue. It's also possible that even if one is generally machmir, malacha shenitzricha legufa, that one could see the Zomer Vatzarech La'itzim case as a different type of malacha shenitzricha legufa. Here, we talked about this a little bit last week, about digging a hole when you don't want the dirt, when you only want the dirt and you don't want the hole, that here it's not just that you're doing an action without, if you were not Tzarech La'itzim, it's not just that you are doing an action without intent for the specific goal of the malacha of Kotzer, but you are intending for the malacha of Zoraya. So it could be that once you have a kavana in a different direction, especially if it's a different malacha, so then in order for it to also be called Kotzer, then you'd have a greater need for active intent in that direction. But it's only because you have the multiple malachas going on here, and it's being defined as a different malacha, maybe that's why you have this need for Tzarech La'itzim. So this clause of Tzarech La'itzim, there's a lot to figure out what exactly the implications are. But the notion that we're focused, at least to some extent, on what you're getting out of it is certainly a major theme in Kotzer, and that's what we find later on. The Gemara talks about the shir for Kotzer. In general, very often, you'll find in Hilchos Shabbos that the shiurim are rarely, not never, but are rarely so relevant for practical purposes, because usually they're so small that if we're actually doing the malacha, chances are we're often going to be violating them. Not always, but in a lot of the cases. But they're relevant because they usually tell us what the malacha is about. So they usually give us a clue, and that's what we've seen the past few weeks also, in the context of Zoraya and Choresh, that which the Gemara points out as being the shiur of the malacha tells us something about what the malacha is about. So too, when it comes to Kotzer, so you find that the Gemara says, what's the shir for Kotzer? So it depends what you want to do with it. Are you being Kotzer to eat? So then it's going to be whatever is minimally significant for a human to eat. Are you going to feed your animals with it? So then it's going to be based on whatever is minimally significant to feed your animals. Do you want to use it to fuel your fire? So then whatever is minimally useful, let's say the Gemara says to cook a beis hakala, you make a small egg, whatever is needed to bake that, to cook that, that's the minimal shear. So it's all going to be defined based on the purpose, and that all does seem to support the notion that the goal of Kotzer is to obtain something for some significant purpose. And again, we also need to say that a little bit, because we need to find a positive focus for the malacha. So just to say that we're killing something, we're separating from its source of life, or that we're breaking something up, is not enough for it to be a malacha without having some type of a positive focus. So you need something that's connected to something else that helps us understand why it could be a malacha. You could also say, if you don't focus on the need possibility, that maybe it's the notion that something becomes defined as its own entity once it's separated from something else. So defining something as a independent cheftza when it was previously connected, maybe that's also a creative act, and maybe that's called a malacha. Hi.
About the fact that the Rambam mentioned, I think it was a little bit just like that, one of the Gemaras, that if you coats or something, let's say a dead fruit, and obviously there's no use to the water stuff coats with the dead produce.
So dead fruit is not necessarily useless. It means that it's not growing anymore. Maybe we'll get that. See how much time we have. But so the Gemara, it's a complicated Gemara, because it sounds like from the Gemara, there's somebody shown and read it a little bit differently. It sounds like from the Gemara that a fruit that has completely dried out, that maybe there is no iser in being tolashit. And that's the whole question. Then let's say that the branch, for example, I'm just going to mention, I'm not going to bring it up, they're really up to it yet. So let's say that the branch that has dried out, so the branch is basically not getting any more nourishment from the tree, and then you have a fruit on that. So it sounds like if you separate the fruit from the branch, then maybe you're pater for that. That's not considered to be kotzer. But the branch itself, even though it's also not growing anymore, that would be kotzer. So it's a little bit of a good introduction to the whole definition. Chalkis Yoav has a whole tshuva about that, where he says maybe there are two things that could be kotzer: taking something that's connected to the ground and disconnecting it, or separating something from its source of life. So the fruit is not really connected, is not living anymore, is not nourished from this plant, so it's not going to be tolesh, and it's a separate entity. But the branch is connected to the tree, so even though it's not growing, but it's connected to the tree, you're separating it from the ground, maybe that's tolesh. But it's interesting here, we talk about breaking off a branch, we just said Zomer V'tzarech Le'etzin, and we mentioned before, you have to figure out whether this is an Av or a Toldo. So the Rashi on the earlier Gemara about Zomer Chayev says, Mishum Toldas Noteya. So there it's a Toldo of Noteya, and it could be that it's a Toldo of Kotzer also. So there's a whole discussion why it should be a Toldo of Kotzer. Rashi, Dibur Rasko V'tzarech, says that it's a Toldo of Kotzer. So Rashi says, Le'etzin, B'tzarech Le'etzin, Hasaka, Mishum B'tzarech Le'em Hevi Toldo. The Kotzer, Tzarech Nami Liktzer. It's a Toldo of Kotzer. So why is it a Toldo of Kotzer and not Kotzer Mamish? So some understand that the Dvar Avraham has a truth about this, that it's only considered to be Kotzer if you have two separate items which are connected to each other, so you then separate them. But to break off something from itself, maybe that's a toldo. So a branch is basically part of a tree. So to break off a branch from a tree, maybe that's a toldo of kotzer as opposed to taking off the fruit from a tree. Okay, could be. The Menachas Chinuch and the Prima Gaudim have an interesting suffix about, we're talking about the shear of kotzer. So what happens if, let's say, you were to take off a chatzi shear, and then it was destroyed somehow. And then you took off another chatzi shear. So at no point did you ever have a full shear of this item of this item that's being removed from the tree. So again, the question becomes, what are we interested in? Are we interested in harvesting something so we have it? So if you never have the whole shear, maybe you're potter. Or are we interested in the fact that it's being disconnected from its source of life, and therefore if it adds up to a whole shear of what's being disconnected, so then that should be a chiyuv. That also gives us a little bit of focus as to what the purpose is. The Yerushalmi has a sentence which is a topic of a lot of discussion. And the Yerushalmi says that if you take a fish out of water, so then you could be chayev mishum kotzer. So that seems to suggest that the definition of kotzer is basically taking something out of its source of life, even if it's not growing out of the ground, and it's not subject to definitions like that, so then that's considered to be a malacha of kotzer. It's not clear whether the Bavli agrees with that. In the Bavli, you find a big machlokas about this, because the Bavli does say that Hashola Dagman Hayam basically gives the same case, that if somebody takes a fish out of water, so then it says in the Gemara that when it's Yavish Kesela, when it's totally dry, like a rock, so then you're going to be Chayev for it. But it's a machlokas Rishonim, why you're Chayev. And a lot of Rishonim say that you're chayev mishum netilas neshama, that it's basically an aspect of shochet. You're going to kill an animal on Shabbos, so that's a malacha, it's a subset of shochet. It's not necessarily connected to kotzer. So it's a shaila whether the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are in dispute about this, because it would go to define the malacha of kotzer significantly differently if simply taking a fish out of water is called kotzer. And we find a similar case. The Gemara also has a discussion that if somebody sticks his hand into a pregnant animal and does something inside the animal that causes the animal to miscarry, so it basically separates the fetus from the mother, so that's also a chiyuv on Shabbos. And once again, it's a machlokas Rishonim why it is that some Rishonim say that that's a Tilas Neshama issue. Tosos and Avodah Zarah actually suggest that it's a malacha of gozes, it's like you're shearing hair off the animal, so to speak. But the question of whether or not that could be considered kotzer, like it sounds like from Yerushalmi, is the whole discussion. And some Rishonim assume, the Rashba and others write, that there's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi about this, that this is not whether, but Yerushalmi seems to understand things like this as a machlokas, as an aspect of kotzer. And the Bavli, a lot of the Rishonim assume, disagree. So Rav Itzel Panovizhar, the Panovizhar Rav a while ago, Rav Itzel Rabinowitz, and the Dvar Avram, who I think we mentioned last week in Shira talking about the Sphira, right? The one who gave the Rav Smicha, So the Dvar Rav has a long shuv about this, where he takes issue with the Dvar with the Rizlapanavizhar, arguing about what the definition of kotzer is. Dvar Avram assumes it's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishalmi. Is it cutting anything off its source of life, or is it taking something which is connected and making it separate? That's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishalmi. And the Ritzlapanavizhar understood that it was all about chiyas, it's all about nourishment, and if you're disconnecting something from nourishment, that's the definition of kotzer completely. It happens to be a very long tshuva, maybe it's two tshuvas. If you have time to read it, certainly outside the scope of our time today, but it's a very long discussion over there in Dvar Avraham about this. Hi.
Can you suggest that the possible machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi is because one maybe holds that you could, that let's say the Bavli only holds that kosher only works with something to be like argo?
Yes, so that also is a major issue in Rishonim, and we'll get to that in the context of Amal office. That's a good segue. So there is a question in general that we'll find, especially in this context of Sidur Depas, that there are some malachas that are limited to Gedulo Karka. That some malachas only apply when you're dealing with something that grows out of the ground. So in some cases, the Gemara is explicit about it, and in some cases, the Gemara is less explicit about it, and the Rishonim are explicit about it. They'll come up again in the context of some of the malachas we'll get to soon. So there are a lot of Rishonim who assume that that's true also when it comes to kotzer, that kotzer only applies when it comes to something that grows out of the ground. Now it happens to be, parenthetically, that you find some Rishonim sometimes say, it sounds a little bit funny, but that an animal could also be considered gedulei karka. Let's say a cow could be considered gedulei karka because a cow sustains itself by eating that which comes from the ground. So maybe it's still more gedulei karka than, let's say, this desk is. You know, that there is a definition of gedulei karka that could include cows. So that's possible, but some of the later svarim suggest that the definition of gedulei karka might differ based on what malacha you're talking about. That some malachos are very karka dependent by their nature, like kotzer maybe. So if we're talking about gedulei karka, then maybe we only mean literally karka. While other malachas, like let's say disha, maybe if we limit that to gedulei karka, maybe theoretically animals might be included in that definition of gedulei karka. So there are a couple levels of debate here, whether or not the malacha itself is limited to gedulei karka. Again, some malachas you find that explicitly, a lot of malachas are a subject of discussion whether or not it's true. And then, even if you have such a limitation, what's the definition of gedulei karka, and could that definition possibly change for different malachas? So that's also a major discussion. You also find, it's interesting, the Yerushalmi, which really seems to be staking out some significant ground here in terms of defining kotzer, odds perhaps with the Bavli. Many times in Hilchos Shabbos you find that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, this will also come up in the near future, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi sometimes really take very different stances on what a malacha is about. Will definitely come up in the near future. So this may be one of these cases where you really have, if you have time to really go into the malachas in detail, it's kedai to learn the Yerushalmis alongside the Bavlis because there are some significant differences. So this is one such case, perhaps. Look at the debate among the Rishonim, how much it's different. But the Yerushalmi also seems to say that if you have an atzitz nakuv, if you have a pot in the ground that has a holes in it and is nourishing from the ground, and then you take another pot like that and you squash it. You try to take a new pot and connect it to the ground by squishing the one underneath it. So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, you're chayiv two malachas for that. That's a malacha of zareya on the new pot, and it's also a malacha of kotzer on the pot underneath. So that seems to suggest, again, according to the Yerushalmi, that kotzer doesn't only require you to get something useful, but even if you are cutting off a source of life from something else, even if it's not coming back to you in any way, that it sounds like that is also an act of kotzer. So then that prompts the question that some of the poskim have, based on Frank has a discussion about this, that should we perhaps say that if you poison a plant, is that an act of kotzer? Because then you're also stopping it to grow. You're not gaining anything from it. And also you're not necessarily physically disconnecting it. So maybe there are a couple of grounds to say maybe that's not kosher, but if we want to define kosher simply as disconnecting something from its source of life, so then maybe that's not maybe that will be considered kosher. So whether or not poisoning could enter into the definition, poisoning a plant could enter into the definition of kosher, would require you to minimally define it as disconnecting something from its nourishment, and you have some room to question whether it fits all of the definitions. It also seems to be clear, we spoke about this 2 malachas ago in the context of Zareya, that it sounds like Zareya and Kotzer are opposites of each other, but we don't seem to find that actually borne out in the sources, that the definition of Zareya and Kotzer don't equally match in terms of opposites, and you could have Kotzer where something is not halachically Zareya, and you could have the opposite. You could have a situation where undoing something that was Zareya is not called Kotzer. So we gave the example 2 weeks ago that according to the poskim who maintained, like the Rashash, that if you planted something on Shabbos, you can undo the malacha by taking the seeds out before it takes root, which takes a few days. So if you do it Sunday morning, you'll be able to stop the malacha from happening. So we discussed the question, could you do it on Shabbos? So it seemed to be that most poskim and most rishonim sound like this, that it's not kosher to take the seeds out of the ground, that even though it may have been an act of zareya to put it in, it's not necessarily kosher to take it out. It might be an issue of mutzah, that's what it sounds like a little bit from the Gemara. But it sounds like it's not necessarily kosher. We mentioned that maybe Shlomo Zalman thought it was an aspect of kosher, but the majority of literature on this topic seems to see it as not necessarily such an issue. So it doesn't seem as logical as it may have seemed that they should be considered opposites to each other. The halacha, we don't seem to find that the Zareya and kosher are necessarily considered to be the opposite of each other. There is a malacha called a tolish, to separate something from a tree, which is often assumed to be a tolda of kotzer, and some of the Rishonim explain the reason it's a tolda sounds like it's the exact same thing, but that kotzer is done with a kli, usually, it's a special tool for harvesting, and tolish maybe is done biyad, it's done with your hand. And then it creates a suffix in some poskim based on that. If you would use a kli that's not the normal kli, that's done for kotzer, should that be considered a act of kotzer or of tolish? Is that not kederach? That's a little bit of a shiloh in the poskim as well. So there is a whole discussion how to understand what seems to be maybe a stira in Rashi's. One of the Rashi's is over here in our passage that the Gemara has in the end of this short discussion of kotzer. Says, let's say you're going to throw a clump of dirt at a tree. So right after the Gemara that we saw, Amar Papa Haman Deshada Pisa Ledikla, Piyaser Tamari, if you're going to throw a clump of dirt at the tree, at the deco, and dates fall out of the tree. So then, says the Gemara initially, Chayiv Shtayim, you're liable for 2 malachas. Achas Mishum Tolesh, Piachas Mishum Mefarik. That one of them is Tolesh, you're separating the fruits from the tree, and the other is Mefarik, which as Rashi explains, the Tolda of Dosh, because the produce is going to become separated from its outer shell once it hits the ground. So that's the first opinion. And Ravashi says, Ravashi Amar, Ein Derech Tlisha Bekach, V'Ein Derech Prika Bekach. Basically, he's assuming that this is not the normal way to do things, and therefore this is not an actual chiyuv. You're at least Pater Vidaraisa for both these malachas of Toldesh and Mefarik if you bring it about by throwing something at the tree and making that happen. So Rashi over here sounds like, what's he saying? Rashi says, Ein Derech Tlisha Frika Bekach, says Rashi, Al Yidei Zrika. So throwing something at a tree, that's not the normal Derech of bringing about these malachos. Ella, what is the Derech? O Biyad, O Bekli. So it sounds like the Derech is, either you use your hand, so that's Tolesh, O Bekli, that's Kotzer, the Tolesh Kalachiyadu Pater, but in this case you're doing a Tlisha Kalachiyad, you're doing it basically in a roundabout way, so you're going to be Pater for that. So the question is, there's a Rashi in Sukkah, in Daf Lamed Vav, that Rashi says that if somebody goes up to a tree on Shabbos and eats the fruit right off of the tree, basically he's tolish b'fiv. So then Rashi says, "Ein lecha tlisha gadol mizeh." There's no act of tlisha that is closer to tlisha, that is more perfect tlisha than that. So it sounds like from that Rashi that one is chayiv for doing tlisha in that case, that that's considered to be kedarah. And here sounds like he's saying that it's only if you use your hand or if you use a tool that it's considered to be kedarah. So there's a whole discussion: is that a steer in Rashi's? Is there a way to reconcile it? Maybe it's easy to imagine that Rashi here didn't necessarily mean to exclude your mouth. Rashi was focusing on the difference between throwing something from a distance and directly taking it off the tree. But in any event, here Rashi does say only with your hand or a tool. And the Rashi and Sukkah, it sounds like using your mouth is chayiv for it. So there's a whole discussion about this in the Tshuvas Rav Poland, where he assumes that it is a chi of deraisa if you eat something right off the tree. And a whole discussion how to reconcile the two Rashis, but that seems to be the likely view, that one should assume that there is an Isser D'Oraisa involved in eating something directly off a tree that's growing on a tree. Now again, if it had died on the tree, if the branch had died, so then maybe that one is pukkah for that, but assuming, let's say, something is growing directly on the tree, so to eat it off of the tree is probably a Melacha D'Oraisa of Tolesh and Shuvas Rav Poland. He recommends putting Shomrim in the Pardesim in order to tell people this, because he thinks people misunderstand this, and until the message gets out, you should have Shomrim there to make sure people are aware. Okay, I don't know how necessary is Bizman is that, but in any event, people should understand that that's a malacha. Separate from the Steer and Rashis, they also point out that there are sources that say, in general, doing a malacha with your mouth might be a Shalom Kederach kind of situation. So the post can assume that it depends what kind of malacha you're talking about. Some malachas are Shalom Kederach if you do it with your mouth, and some malachas it's not. So people maybe, I don't know if we see this happening so much today during the week, but apparently people had a habit of just, you know, chomping down on the tree. So if that's considered to be something people do, so it's possible this would be Kederach, even if other malachas are not. We'll discuss in the context of a few other malachas in general. Sometimes there is a exemption if it's Derech Achila. Doesn't seem to be the case over here, especially because this is not the only way to eat fruit. So this is not, it doesn't seem to be that this is an exemption, and it seems to be, according to many poskim, the conclusion is that this is actually a chiyuv deraisa. So the kids are not recommended to eat fruit off the tree on Shabbos. So there are many isurim derabanan that are relevant in interesting ways to the Malacha of Kotzer, and we'll spend a few minutes talking about that. One of the Malachas Durabanan, one of the Yisurim Durabanan, is Hishtamshus B'ilan. It's interesting also, we also, just to follow up on this previous point, you also have a Gzeir Durabanan not to smell the fruit on a tree. And the concern is, again, that you will come to take it off. So the whole discussion, how exactly that gzera plays out in light of the previous point, and is it a gzera l'gzera, or is it a direct gzera, but in any event, you do find such a gzera that you shouldn't smell the fruit on a tree, and you shouldn't use a tree in general. You shouldn't hang things on a tree, you shouldn't put things on a tree, lean things against a tree, and the din is that even mitzideh tree, the side of the tree, but if it's two levels removed, sidei tzadim, so then that's mutter. So it's a shayla what falls in that category. So for example, if you have a treehouse, is that called tzadim or sidei tzadim? So that's a suffix in the Sefer Migdal David. I'm using that name of the Sefer because Migdal is a tower, so it's appropriate Sefer to talk about the treehouse. But that's the actual name. The book is more well known as Rabbi Ribiat's 39 Malachas book. But in the back, the Hebrew footnotes are called the Migdal David. So it's only in the Hebrew part anyway. So in the Migdal David, the Hebrew part of Rabbi Ribiat's book, he has a discussion about this, about how a treehouse fits into this model. And that's a Shiloh. So there is a very unusual din here, which I don't know if it ever comes up. I'll discuss a little bit why it may never come up. But there is a halacha based on this, that one is not supposed to climb on a tree on Shabbos. Okay, that comes up. That's relevant. You should not climb on a tree. But we also find that one is The one who does climb on a tree, we constrain him, we penalize this person, and he's not allowed to come down from the tree until Shabbos is over. So the shaila is whether or not that din ever comes up in real life. Why is it hard for that din to come up? A couple of reasons. That, first of all, it only applies to somebody who does it b'mezid. And so if you do it b'shogeg, so then this whole din doesn't apply. And the poskim say that what children do, we have the right to assume that's b'shogeg because they're children. So children who climb up, the whole concept, even al tzchinuch, wouldn't apply to tell them they can't climb down. So that's one reason where it's going to be limited. It's also limited because if it only applies to somebody who climbed up and mazed it, you need somebody with a very unusual religious philosophy to worry about this, right? So he climbed up the tree, b'mezid it, but now he's so frog that he's not going to come down because he's observing this din d'rabbanan to constrain him not to come down. So I don't know who's going to really be observing this halacha. I don't know who it's addressed to. It's very hard to imagine that there is such a person, but okay, so if the person is in that that position, okay. There is also a explanation some of the posts can give that the nature of the knas is that they don't want you to come down because coming down would also be considered using the tree. So therefore, that would just be a further avera, so we don't want to let you do that. So then there's a machlokas, so maybe you should be able to jump off the tree. So the Shmir Shabbos Kalacha says you could jump off the tree, you won't be using it. And if Harfinus and his Shuvah says he's not so sure that that's true. But again, it's very hard to imagine who this is going to apply to for a couple of other reasons. So again, first of all, the person who's a shogeg, it's not going to apply to. The idea that somebody is going to worry about this when they went up the tree, amazed it, knowing that it's us, or now they became, they had an epiphany at the top of the tree. I guess sometimes you have a change of perspective. So you climb the tree, you see the whole world differently, you decide to become a Shomer Shabbos. This is very hard to imagine who's going to find himself in this situation. But a person who climbed the tree, amazed it, all of a sudden now is going to be willing to stay up there, but maybe it happens. Question about that?
You say the knas is really because it's an additional, it's because you're really using the tree to go down, so that might be more, and make more sense to be applicable. If let's say you went on the tree, you go on yom. So now that a job is for you to come down, it's really iser. But if it's just an extra stomp knas, so maybe the knas wouldn't be, if you went up and you go on yom, it wouldn't apply because they have the same machlokas with the pasha redusa we saw.
So I'll talk about that model in a second. I'm not sure if that necessarily affects it. I mean, some of the poskim do point out that if we're worried about additional usage of the tree, so then telling the guy to stay up in the tree is also additional usage of the tree. So they also point out that if there's any heter to come down, you're mechuyev to come down because staying up there is additional usage. Again, this is a very, and I don't know how many dinim d'rabbanan are like this. This is a very unusual din. It really exists more in concept than in practice. It's very hard to know how it's going to come up. Now, even after those limitations, they'll tell you a few more limitations. So the poskim also write that if it's a situation, it's a din d'rabbanan. So if it's a situation of sakana, or a situation of tsar, or a situation of kavod abrios, a person's allowed to come down. So kavod abrios, for example, if a person needs to use a bathroom, he's going to be able to come down. So it's also not so likely that he's going to be able to stay up there all Shabbos and never have to use the bathroom or a situation like that, or be put himself at risk of slipping in and falling out of the tree, which is a sakana. So the chances that one of those exclusions is not going to apply to a person who's up there is also very slim. So that's also another major limitation on the scope of this din d'rabbanan. And while you mentioned the example of the Gemara, this is really a first parak sugyah, so we'll see how much time we have for the other first parak sugyahs, and we'll get to some more detail. But Jonathan made reference to the Gemara, which we talked about in the context of the Malacha of Zareah, so you're probably familiar with it. The Gemara on Daf Dalet, the Gemara talks about whether or not somebody is able to take bread out of the oven on Shabbos, which is Nistar d'Rabbanan. But if it'll stop the malacha of Ofeh from happening, should we allow it? Should we allow a person to violate the Issur d'Rabbanan of taking bread out of the oven in order to prevent the Issur d'Raisa of baking to take place? So the Gemara is a shayla. What if somebody else did it? Do we say, Chatei kidei sheyizkeh chavercha? You should do the small avera to save your friend from a big avera. Or what if you did it? Do we say, Chatei kidei sheyizkeh atzmecha? That you should be able to do this avera d'rabbanan to save yourself from malacha on Shabbos. So the Kavjig of a Rav, who we've mentioned in the past, has a tshuva where he says that even if the halacha was that he had to keep the bread in the oven, he's not allowed to do the sisa d'rabbanan, the person would not be chayiv skila for this. He would not be chayiv misa for the malacha of ofed. Why not? He says, in general, it's an interesting point, he says, in general, it's a whole shiloh, why is it that when it comes to misa's bezdin, we don't accept tshuva? We believe in the concept of tshuva, so why is it we say that only in Dei Shamayim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts tshuva, but Bidei Adam, Bezdin can't accept tshuva? So that's the whole shayla. Najib Yehuda has a tshuva about it, Yosef Engel has a whole essay about it. So some think the reason is that really we should accept tshuva. But if it's going to get you off the death penalty, so everyone will pretend they do tshuva. So Bezdin is never going to know how to accept the tshuva or not, and it'll basically negate the whole concept of Chiyuv Misa, because everyone will claim tshuva, so we're never going to be able to have either meaningful tshuva or meaningful Misa Bezdin. So conceptually, it's impossible. Right? We discussed in the Chumash last week about Rosh and Gemurim, Afilo Pisman Shiganim and Chozrim, so maybe anything less than Rosh HaGamar, if he has the option of getting himself saved from the death penalty, will claim to do tshuva. So maybe that's the issue, that we just never know how to believe someone. So the Kaddish Glover Rav says, normally that's the case. You can't know if a person really did tshuva. But here, this guy for sure did tshuva. First, he violated a malacha on Shabbos, and now he's so from at Halacha Shabbos that he's observing the Din D'Rabbanan of not taking it out, even though it leaves him with a death penalty. So he should be pater from the death penalty, because we see he clearly did tshuva. So again, that seems to be the situation of the guy in the tree. If he's so from now that he's observing this knas, so then when he went up there, so then if the whole knas only applies to a mezid, so a person who does tshuva, even if he does tshuva meyira, the Gemara says, zidonin solo nasin lo kishgagas. So even if he went up there by mezid, so now retroactively, since he did tshuva, this has a status of a shogeg. So anybody who had such an epiphany should be able to go down for that reason, because his original mezid climbing of the tree should be considered to be b'shogeg. So that's again, a limitation on this. We find this, by the way, you find a similar concept. The poskim inside of the Shulchan Aruch invoke this in the context of tefillah. That normally, if a person misses a tefillah b'shogeg, so he's allowed to do a tefillah's tashlum, and he's allowed to make up the tefillah. And the exception is, if he did it b'mezid, if a person intentionally skipped tefillah, so we don't let him do a tefillah's tashlum. And it's a machlokas that poskim, what's called mezid for that. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's got to be mezid gomer, really fully, knowingly, intentionally skipped davening. But even within that, so the poskim write that a person who did tshuva for skipping davening to mezid, so then it's now considered to be shogeg, and then he's in the category of somebody who can do tashlum. So to hear, a person who's done tshuva for climbing on the tree, it should be considered that he climbed up a shogeg, and he shouldn't be subject to this knas. And almost by definition, anybody who cares about the knas, the assumption would seem to be that he did tshuva. So I think that from a logical, mathematical perspective, I don't know if there's ever a situation where this knas will come into play, but it has a theoretical impact. There is a discussion in poskim also, if you have a tree stump, if the top of the tree has been cut off, are you allowed to use that? It doesn't have a surah silon. Happens to be many poskim were makel on that, and many poskim thought that a tree stump does not have the din for a number of reasons, not growing anymore, doesn't have the same issues, doesn't look like the existing zayr. So many poskim were makel on a tree stump that shouldn't be considered to be usage of a tree for this purpose. Another gezeira, which is highly relevant, that comes out of the din of kotzer, is there is an isser of hishtamshus bibehema, that one is not allowed to ride an animal or to use an animal on Shabbos because of the isser of kotzer. Because the concern is, let's say a person is riding a horse, so he's going to hopefully gently and humanely want to influence the horse to go in the right way, so maybe he's going to feel a need to rip a branch off a tree in order to gently guide the horse, humanely, hopefully. So if that's the case, we're concerned about that, so there's a gezeira of kotzer of hishtamshus bebehema. The Mishnah Berurah notes that the Yerushalmi has another reason for this, a concern of shisus behema. But it's not clear that that would really do it, as the Mishnah Berurah points out. So, for example, for an animal to carry a person, if you're going to ride on a horse on Shabbos, so that wouldn't necessarily be a malacha for the animal. Because carrying a person, it's not clear that that's a malacha daraisa ever. Let's say if you're carrying at least a person who's not an infant, or a person who's capable of walking themselves, according to some Rishonim, if they're not capable, if you're carrying a living being, so theoretically there's an exemption of chai nosei es atzmo, that it's not considered to be real carrying when you're carrying a living being. So there's an issur d'rabbanan involved. But we're not going to make an issur d'rabbanan on animals. So if the animal is carrying a person, so strictly speaking, it may not be a malacha because of chai nosei es atzmo, and we don't have an issur d'rabbanan subject to the animals. So therefore, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's not clear that the concept of shvisas behema would extend to the behema not carrying a person. So the issur of riding on an animal probably is not explained by shvisas behema, and we need the Bavli's reason that we're concerned about kotzer. We're concerned that you may come to rip off a branch. So as the Eglei Tal explains, that this is all one gezeirah that includes everything. So two exceptions you might think are exceptions, which are not, is let's say you have an animal that you don't normally ride in this kind of context. So maybe you would think that that should be a different category. So he says, no, that's all animals are chad the gezeirah as far as this is concerned. And you might think that if you're riding in an area where there aren't any trees, so then we shouldn't have such a gezeirah. He says, no, it's also, again, chad the gezeirah. So it doesn't make a difference whether you're riding a horse in a forest or you're riding a seal in the middle of the desert, for anyone who can find themselves in that situation. In both cases, you'll still have this gezeirah of hishtam shishpi behema, because it's all considered to be chad the gezeirah of using the tree. So again, these are, as much as we said about the knas of going down, how that seems to be very limited, but separate from that, the gzeiros drabana that are connected to kotzer are highly practical. The fact that we can't use a tree itself, climb a tree or use a tree in any significant way, or ride on an animal, all of that is connected to this malach of kotzer on a level midrabanan. And as we saw, there's a lot of lumdas to ask about how we categorize kotzer, and whether it's defined as cutting something off of its source of life, or whether it's defined as disconnecting something that's connected, or something that you need. All of these are nuances in terms of what malacha it is, in terms of whether it's an avar, a told, or this malacha, that malacha. But separate from all those issues, the halachas are pretty straightforward, that disconnecting something from a living plant, or uprooting a living plant, taking a fruit off a tree, all of these are straightforward issues of kotzer and tolesh, and there are some significant isurim drabanan that have some significant impact that emerge from this malacha as well. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for today. So tomorrow, again, the agenda is to finish off hiddur.